everyone. Thank you for joining us. You are listening to Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm your host, Lisa Hollinger. I was in a meeting at work a little while ago, and someone shared an article from the Barna Group, and it's from April 30th, 2013, and it's called, Are Christians More Like Jesus or More Like the Pharisees? And I immediately knew when we were reading this, I thought, oh, I'm going to share this on the air because this is going to be a great story to share. And it really is. It says that one of the common critiques of present-day Christianity is that we're a religion full of hypocritical people. The Barna Group conducted a study of actions and attitudes to determine if Christians are more like Jesus or more like the Pharisees. And immediately think, oh, of course, we're going to be more like Jesus, not like the Pharisees, because we're more like him than them. But it's kind of interesting to see the results. Before I read some of those, I wanted to just make sure that we all know what a Pharisee is. So I looked it up, and a Pharisee in its Hebrew form means separatists, or the separated ones. They made themselves the most bitter and deadly opponents of Jesus Christ and his message. They perhaps meant to obey God, but eventually they became so devoted and extremist in very limited parts of the law, plus all that they added to it, that they became blind to the Messiah when he was in their very midst. They saw his miracles, they heard his words, but instead of receiving it with joy, they did all that they could to stop him, eventually to the point of getting him killed because he truthfully claimed to be the Son of God. And I pulled that from the internet off of Daily Bible Study. I thought it was a good definition of the word Pharisee. Okay, so are you ready? Here we go. Here are some attitudes and actions that are like Jesus. See where you fall. It is more important to help people know God is for them than to make sure they know they are sinners. Another one is, I feel compassion for people who are not following God and doing immoral things. That's an interesting one to think of. If you know someone who's not necessarily following God in their lives, I think we all do, but do we show compassion for those people or do we judge them? That's a good question to ask ourselves, I think. Another one is, I regularly choose to have meals with people with very different faith or morals from me. And I thought about that and I thought, when is the last time I had dinner with someone who was completely opposite in religious views from me? And honestly, it's been a long time. The closest thing that I can think of that even comes close to it is we have some neighbors down the street from us who are from India, and they are the best people. I just absolutely love them. And she brought us over some of her, she makes this yummy bean dish, and she brought it over and shared it with us. But even still, we were just, you know, talking back and forth as neighbors. We've never really had dinner with them. And so it really made me stop and think, am I really living like the Savior? Am I doing the types of things and reaching out to people in the way that he would? And I thought, I really have some room for improvement there. Then they give a list of self-righteous attitudes and actions, which are more like the Pharisees. And I'm just going to share a couple of those with you. One of those is, I prefer to serve people who attend my church rather than those outside the church. Now, that's a good question. Who are we serving? Are we serving just the people that we go to church with every week? Or are we looking for ways to serve those who maybe are neighbors and friends, but they don't go to church with us? That's a good question to ask and to think about. Another one is, I find it hard to be friends with people who seem to constantly do the wrong things. Or this one, people who follow God's rules are better than those who do not. Do we do that? Do we think that about people sometimes, that if they're not following God, that we're better than they are, or that we're looking down on them? I'll be honest, I realized that there were a couple of things in these different categories that I needed to really work on. And it's a great article. If you have a minute, I'll tell you the title again so you can look it up, but it's called, Are Christians More Like Jesus or More Like the Pharisees? Good article to read for some introspection on, are we really following the Savior? What's interesting about this article, though, is that the findings reveal that most people who are self-identified as Christians in the United States are characterized by having the attitudes and actions that are pharisaical. Just over half of the nation's Christians, using the broadest definitions of those who call themselves Christians, qualify for this category. So they have this chart, and they show that really the more people fall with their attitudes and actions into the category of being like the Pharisees. There's 51% of Christians in the United States who fall into this category. They tend to have attitudes and actions that are characterized by self-righteousness. So I thought to myself, what can we do about this? Because that is not good. That's not cool at all. And I found an article from President Thomas S. Monson, who is the prophet of the church. And it's from General Conference, October 2009. And it's called, What Have I Done for Someone Today? And I want to play this for you in his own words now.
A few years ago, I read an article written by Jack McConnell, M.D. He grew up on the hills of Southwest Virginia in the United States as one of seven children of a Methodist minister and a stay-at-home mother. Their circumstances were very humble. He recounted that during his childhood, every day, as the family sat around the dinner table, his father would ask each one in turn, "And what did you do for someone today?" The children were determined to do a good turn every day so they could report to their father that they had helped someone. Dr. McConnell calls this exercise his father's most valuable legacy. For that expectation and those words inspired him and his siblings to help others throughout their lives. As they grew and matured, their motivation for providing service changed to an inner desire to help others. Besides Dr. McConnell's distinguished medical career, where he directed the development of the tuberculosis Tyne test, participated in the early development of the polio vaccine, supervised the discovery of Tylenol, and was instrumental in developing the magnetic resonance imaging procedure, or MRI, he created an organization he calls Volunteers in Medicine, which gives retired medical personnel a chance to volunteer at free clinics serving the working uninsured. Dr. McConnell said his leisure time since he retired has evaporated into 60-hour weeks of unpaid work. But his energy level has increased, and there is a satisfaction in his life that wasn't there before. He made this statement, "In one of those paradoxes of life, I have benefited more from volunteers in medicine than my patients have." Close quote. There are now over 50 such clinics across the United States. Of course, we can't all be Dr. McConnell's, establishing medical clinics to help the poor. However, the needs of others are ever present, and each of us can do something to help someone. The Apostle Paul admonished, "By love, serve one another."
President Monson always has great stories that make you kind of stop and think. I like this story because of Dr. McConnell's father sitting around the dinner table with his family, and we've talked about that before in previous episodes, that if you can gather your kids together for a family dinner, how important that is and how crucial that is for the development of children. And Dr. McConnell says that when his dad gathered him together, and they would ask each of the children in turn, "And what did you do for someone today?" What a great idea for some dinner time conversation to ask your kids, "What did you do for someone else today?" That, of course, ultimately led to a life of service for Dr. McConnell as he participated in the early development of the polio vaccine and supervised the development of Tylenol. So every time you take a Tylenol, you can think of this man and think of what his father taught him and how that led him to bless those around him. I thought that was a great story. So now we all have something that we can add to our dinner time conversation and help us be more like the Savior and a little less like Pharisees. That's my thought for the day. I thank you for being with us. If you have any stories that you want to share with me or things that you've done with your family that have made a difference, I would love to hear it. Send your emails to me at mormonchanneldaily@ldschurch.org, or you can post on our Facebook wall today, of course. This has been another episode of Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And the song of the day that I want to leave you with is called Still Small Voice, featuring Sherry Call. Thanks again for being with me, and have a great day.
I was looking for a vision, and I was trying just to see some signs. Let me know that God is with me, and that he didn't just pass me by. A blackbird and a daffodil, and tried to show he's always been right there. But I kept trying to find him everywhere. Looked for him in the fire, he wasn't in the fire. Looked for him in the windstorm, but he was not there. Looked for him in the lofty words of the men on the mighty thrones, but I could not find him until I was alone. When I heard a still, small voice, tried to find which way to go, and figure out if I should say yes or no. Tried to find redemption, and I was feeling closer, but I did not know. Tried to find the answers, I wish that I could see a ray of light, and I wondered if God could see me through the night. I looked for him in the fire, he wasn't in the fire. I looked for him in the windstorm, but he was not there. I looked for him in the lofty words of the men on the mighty thrones, but I could not find him until I was alone. When I heard a still, small voice, shining stars, and I have found him with my broken heart. I looked for him in the fire, he wasn't in the fire. I looked for him in the windstorm, but he was not there. I looked for him in the lofty words of the men on the mighty thrones, but I could not find him until I was alone. When I heard a still